He was tempted to set himself adrift and try to solve the problem by trial and error, but he could see the others, their useless efforts at control, and he couldn't think of what he would do that they weren't already doing. Holding on to the floor with one hand, he fiddled idly with the toy gun that was attached to his suit in front, just below the shoulder. Then he remembered the hand rockets sometimes used by Marines when they did a boarding assault on an enemy station. He pulled the gun from his suit and examined it. He had pushed all the buttons back in the room, but the gun did nothing there. Maybe here, in the battle room, it would work. There were no instructions on it, no labels on the controls. The trigger was obvious. He had had toy guns, as all children had, almost since infancy. There were two buttons that his thumb could easily reach, and several others along the bottom of the shaft that were almost inaccessible without using two hands. Obviously, the two buttons near his thumb were meant to be instantly usable. He aimed the gun at the floor and pulled back on the trigger. He felt the gun grow instantly warm. Then he let go of the trigger. It cooled at once. Also, a tiny circle of light appeared on the floor where he was aiming. He thumbed the red button at the top of the gun and pulled the trigger again. Same thing. Then he pushed the white button. It gave a bright flash of light that illuminated a wide area, but not as intensely. The gun was quite cold when the button was pressed. The red button makes it like a laser, but it is not a laser, Dap had said, while the white button makes it a lamp. Neither will be much help when it comes to maneuvering. So everything depends on how you push off, the course you set when you start. It means we're going to have to get very good at controlling our launches and rebounds, or we're all going to end up floating around in the middle of nowhere. Ander looked around the room. A few of the boys were drifting close to walls now, flailing their arms to catch a handhold. Most were bumping into each other and laughing. Some were holding hands and going around in circles. Only a few, like Ender, were calmly holding on to the walls and watching. One of them, he saw, was Alai. He had ended up on another wall not too far from Ender. On impulse, Ender pushed off and moved quickly toward Alai. Once in the air, he wondered what he would say. Alai was Bernard's friend. What did Ender have to say to him? Still, there was no changing course now, so he watched straight ahead and practiced making tiny leg and hand movements to control which way he was facing as he drifted. Too late, he realized that he had aimed too well. He was not going to land near Alai, he was going to hit him. "Here, snag my hand," Alai called. Ender held out his hand. Alai took the shock of impact and helped Ender make a fairly gentle landing against the wall. "That's good," Ender said. "We ought to practice that kind of thing." "That's what I thought, only everybody's turning to butter out there," Alai said. "What happens if we get out there together? We should be able to shove each other in opposite directions." "Yeah. Okay?" It was an admission that all might not be right between them. "Is it okay for us to do something together?" Ender's answer was to take Alai by the wrist and get ready to push off. "Ready?" said Alai. "Go." Since they pushed off with different amounts of force, they began to circle each other. Ender made some small hand movements, then shifted a leg. They slowed. He did it again. They stopped orbiting. Now they were drifting evenly. "Packed head, Ender," Alai said. It was high praise. "Let's push off before we run into that bunch. And then let's meet over in that corner." Ender did not want this bridge into the enemy's camp to fail. "Last one there saves farts in a milk bottle," Alai said. Then, slowly, steadily, they maneuvered until they faced each other, spread-eagled hand to hand, knee to knee. "And then we just scrunch?" asked Alai. "I've never done this before either," said Ender. They pushed off. It propelled them faster than they expected. Ender ran into a couple of boys and ended up on a wall that he hadn't expected. It took him a moment to reorient and find the corner where he and Alai were to meet. Alai was already headed toward it. Ender plotted a course that would include two rebounds to avoid the largest clusters of boys. When Ender reached the corner, Alai had hooked his arms through two adjacent handholds and was pretending to doze. "You win." "I want to see your fart collection," Alai said. "I stored it in your locker, didn't you notice? I thought it was my socks. We don't wear socks anymore." "Oh, yeah." A reminder that they were both far from home. It took some of the fun out of having mastered a bit of navigation. Ender took his pistol and demonstrated what he had learned about the two thumb buttons. "What does it do when you aim at a person?" asked Eli. "I don't know." "Why don't we find out?" Ender shook his head. "We might hurt somebody." "I meant, why don't we shoot each other in the foot or something? I'm not Bernard. I never tortured cats for fun." "Oh. Can't be too dangerous or they wouldn't give these guns to kids." "Well, we're soldiers now." "Shoot me in the foot." "No, you shoot me." "Let's shoot each other." They did. Immediately, Ender felt the leg of the suit grow stiff, immobile at the knee and ankle joints. "You frozen?" asked Eli. "Stiff as a board." "Let's freeze a few," Eli said. "Let's have our first war, us against them." They grinned. Then Ender said, "Better invite Bernard." Eli cocked an eyebrow. "Oh?" "And Shen." "That little butt wiggler?" Ender decided that Eli was joking. Eli grinned. "Let's go get Bernard and Shen and freeze these bugger lovers." In 20 minutes, everyone in the room was frozen except Ender, Bernard, Shen, and Eli. The four of them sat there whooping and laughing until Dap came in. "I see you've learned how to use your equipment," he said. Then he did something to a control he held in his hand. Everybody drifted slowly toward the wall he was standing on. He went among the frozen boys, touching them and thawing their suits. There was a tumult of complaint that it wasn't fair how Bernard and Eli had shot them all when they weren't ready. "Well, why weren't you ready?" asked Dap. "You had your suits just as long as they did. You had just as many minutes flapping around like drunken ducks. Stop moaning and we'll begin." Ender noticed that it was assumed that Bernard and Eli were the leaders of the battle. Well, that was fine. Bernard knew that Ender and Eli had learned to use the guns together, and Ender and Eli were friends. Now others might believe that Ender had joined his group, but it wasn't so. Ender had joined a new group, Eli's group. Bernard had joined it too. It wasn't obvious to everyone. Bernard still blustered and sent his cronies on errands, but Eli now moved freely through the whole room, and when Bernard was crazy, Eli could joke a little and calm him down. When it came time to choose their launch leader, Eli was the almost unanimous choice. Bernard sulked for a few days, and then he was fine, and everyone settled into the new pattern. The launch was no longer divided into Bernard's in-group and Ender's outcasts. Eli was the bridge. Ender sat on his bed with his desk on his knees. It was private study time, and Ender was doing free play. It was a shifting, crazy kind of game in which the school computer kept bringing up new things, building a maze that you could explore. You could go back to events that you liked for a while. If you left one alone too long, it disappeared and something else took its place. Sometimes they were funny things. Sometimes exciting ones, and he had to be quick to stay alive. He had lots of deaths, but that was okay. Games were like that. You died a lot until you got the hang of it. His figure on the screen had started out as a little boy. For a while, it had changed into a bear. Now it was a large mouse with long and delicate hands. He ran his figure under a lot of large items of furniture depicted on the screen. He had played with the cat a lot, but now it was boring, too easy to dodge. He knew all the furniture. "Not through the mouse hole this time," he told himself. "I'm sick of the giant. It's a dumb game and I can't ever win. Whatever I choose is wrong.